Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. You are so good to us. And we shout unto your name this morning. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning. The revelation of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give him some praise in the house. Give the Lord some praise in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, the last few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Ghost series. And I had a really important continuation this morning. I'll keep it brief. And every chance we get, we're going to continue this until we get to where we want to be. So today, we've already talked about, the gifts and calling of God. You have to listen to those messages on the website. We've talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the body ministry. We've also talked about, recognizing the calling of God in your life and so forth. Now today I want to take some time and talk more, and that from this point on, I'm going to be going deeper into the actual giftings of the Spirit. So we're going to be talking about that. So today I'll lay a foundation for that and so forth. So today I'm going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Now that's plural. The gifts of the Spirit. And I want to divide that up into two categories. I'm going to talk about the manifestation gifts. And then I'm going to talk about the ministry gifts. Now, so we want to pay attention to this. This may not be the way that people usually break up these gifts and so forth, but I've been doing a lot of studying and waiting on the Lord and so forth about it, and this is the way the Lord wants me to bring it here. So I'm going to be talking about the manifestation gifts and the ministry gifts. Now, my text for the manifestation gifts will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verses 4 through about 11. Now, we've already touched on some of this before, but there is an aspect that I want to bring out today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and starting at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts. That means a plurality, differences, and so forth. The different kinds of gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, I don't think the Bible just uses words just for the fun of it. These things mean, they carry a meaning. Administrations, diversities, and operations, as we'll see here in a minute. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same Lord or the same God that walketh all in all. Amen. Now, verse 7. This is where we're going this morning. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. That's the manifestation of His Spirit. Now, for to one, and he begins to tell us what these manifestation gifts are. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Now, this phrase, the word of wisdom, I have researched it in the Bible, is mentioned only in this one place. Now, we're not talking about wisdom. Wisdom is in so many places in the Bible. But we're talking about the word of wisdom. That phrase, the word of wisdom, is mentioned only in this place in the Bible. And he doesn't go into a lot of detail. As also, to another is given the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's also mentioned only in this place. But we see the operations of these gifts in many parts of the Bible. If I have time, I'll give you those examples. To another is given faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. Now, you'll notice that gifts has S behind it, so it's plural. Now, the gifts of healing. So we'll be talking about that at some point in time. But let me quickly point out that, the gifts of healing, there's the reason why it's plural. Because God can heal so many different things. Physical diseases, various kinds. There's also emotional healing. There's all kinds of healing that God can bring through various giftings, manifestations of these giftings. Now, You know, so we see that. And then he talks about to another, the working of miracles. To another, he talks about prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, or different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that self, same and self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we notice that he mentioned 9 different gifts in this place. Some people categorize them together into vocal gifts, power gifts, and so forth like that, you know, and revelation gifts. But that's not my focus. My focus is I'm taking this whole group of giftings here as one set, because it talks about the manifestation. So these are the manifestation gifts. Now, I'll come back to these manifestation gifts in a minute, but let me quickly go to the ministry gifts, just so you see how I differentiate them, then I'll come back to the manifestation gifts. The ministry gifts, my text for the ministry gifts will be taken. I have 2 sets of texts. One is taken from, and we've already mentioned this in the last few services. One is taken from Romans chapter 12, from verses 5 to 8. There's also Ephesians chapter 4. Actually, the leading text for these ministry gifts is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 to 13. That's the leading text that I want to lead in with in this for the ministry gifts. We are told here in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, and he, that's Christ, gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, verse 12. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. So you see that point blank there tells you these are for the work of the ministry. You know, so these are ministry gifts. And for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's one text for the ministry gifts. Now, the other text is Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. And it says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts different gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And he says, you know, whether it is ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and so forth, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, so in this place it lists 7 different types. Now, some of these things overlap. You'll see that prophecy is mentioned here, you know, it's mentioned also in the manifestation gifts, the gift of prophecy, and so forth. You know, so then the other text for the ministry gifts, I'm just putting out this text and I'll come back to the manifestation gifts. The other text for the ministry gifts is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing. Then, governments and diversities of tongues, and so on and so forth. You know, now, you notice that every time he talks about tongues, it's not just speaking in tongues, it's diversities of tongues. The person that actually has this special gift, you know, can speak in many different kinds of tongues. Now, everybody should be able to speak in a new tongue. Jesus said, all believers We speak in new tongues. Mark 16 said that. But there is a different gift that is called diverse kinds of tongues. You know, so they can speak in diverse kinds of tongues. Now, here's a question that Paul asks here. Are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with these tongues that we're talking about? And do all interpret? So we see that, but he's bringing it in and say, God has set this in the church for this and that and so forth. Now, some of these, again, some of these gifts overlap. And I'll come to the overlap in a minute. So those are the broad categories of what I'm going to be dealing with, the manifestation gifts and the ministry gifts. Now, the manifestation gifts come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, which we've already covered in previous lessons, then you have the gift, you have the gift, singular, of the Holy Ghost resting in you, and he can manifest in any different ways. And we talk about the reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't flow. You have to listen to the message, you know, the flowing of the Holy Spirit, you know, and all that. So we talked about that. Now, every believer can and should have the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in their life. These gifts should manifest. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, I want you to turn with me to Galatians 3 and 28. And it says, there is neither Jew, and he's talking about equality in Christ. Now, there is neither Jew, you know, you have to read the whole text. I just picked one verse because I don't have time to read the whole chapter. But you have to read the whole chapter for the context. Now, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, so we believe that every believer is a joint heir with Christ. That's what the Bible says. And because we are joint heirs with Christ, you know, we have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God can manifest. And that's every believer. Whether they are bond or free, that means whether they are prisoner or they are free, you know, whether they are male or female, whether they are this or that, Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter. You know, at one time, the early disciples or apostles thought that the giftings of God were going to be to the Jews only. Well, you know, even Jesus, when he came, he knew what he was doing because it was dispensational. But at one point in time, he said, look, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, but, you know, in the mind of Jesus, he knew what the house of Israel meant. You know, and so everybody thought he was just talking about, the nation of Israel and the just those Jews. But the Lord, you know, he said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And there will be one fold and one shepherd. So the Lord already knew that. But at various dispensations, he would drop some things, and sometimes people are confused. So even the apostles were confused. They thought, well, you know, just for the Jews and so forth. Until Peter, in Acts chapter 10, witnessed the Holy Ghost falling upon Cornelius and his family who were Gentiles. Then they said, oh, wow, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. But in every nation, anybody that fears the name of the Lord, he can receive the gift also. Praise the Lord. You know, so we know that. Now, let me also say that there is a message that I want everybody to listen to. I preached this message, and it's on our message, on our website, 2009-0904. So that's September 4th of 2009. And it is titled, Women of Faith, Joint Heirs with Christ. I want you to listen to that message. I went and listened to it this week, again, just to see, you know, what we said, you know, what I said. You know, and my position on that is still the same, hasn't changed. You know, every believer can receive the Holy Ghost. We know that. And once you have the Holy Ghost, you can manifest these gifts. We know that. And all of these things are for the edifying of the church. God wants, you know, in as much, 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, in as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you should do them to the edifying of the body of Christ. So, you know, that is the way it is. And that God is very particular about using these gifts to build up the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. And God, through the Apostle Paul, wrote many things and many teachings, but we see that he didn't spend a lot of time covering all the various giftings, but he spent time on some more rather than the others. As we see in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he spoke about all the manifestation gifts. He spoke briefly about the ministry gifts, but he just left it like that. But he spoke even more about some of those gifts. He spoke a lot about prophecy. He spoke a lot about tongues and interpretation and so forth like that. And about, you know, he didn't cover everything. He just threw it out there and left it. Now, what we want you to know, that this promise is unto you. Amen. The book of Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. This promise was given by Prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, hallelujah, shall prophesy. Hallelujah. That's your sons and that's your daughters who prophesy. He even says that, look, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, but your sons and daughters, I'll pour out upon my servants and my handmaidens, in those days will I pour out upon my spirit. So we see that, you know, both men and women are supposed to receive the Holy Ghost and supposed to be able to do these things that they, you know, that are called the manifestation gifts. Now, those are manifestation gifts. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, actually referred back to the prophecy of Joel. When everybody came around and thought that these people that were speaking in tongues were drunk, Peter said, these are not drunken as you suppose, because it's only 9 a.m. You know, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit among all flesh. And that's what you are witnessing here today. And at the end, he said, this promise is unto you and to all your children, and as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we see that this promise is unto all of us. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. He gave, you know, he quoted that same prophecy of Joel and brought it in. Now we see that on the day of Pentecost, when they were actually waiting to receive the Holy Ghost, we'll see that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them to wait, you know, for the power, for the endowment from above. But let's see who were there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, and also with the brethren and so forth like that. You know, so his brethren were there. You know, that's his physical, that's the sons of Mary. They were there. Mary was there to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mary did receive the Holy Ghost too. Baptism, she was there. Some of the other women were there as well. So they were all there. They all received the Holy Ghost and so forth like that. And Jesus said, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. He began to talk about these things that, you know, the believers should do. So this manifestation gifts, and you know, we want the people, we've been trying for some weeks and so on to try to stir up the people, you know, stir up the gift of God that is in you. That's what Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. You got to stir it up and so forth. It's already there, but you got to stir it up. Sometimes it's dormant and so forth. And we have been encouraging people, trying to encourage, you know. And if you take a look at our services here, you know, the way that the Lord has been leading us to do it, you know, we try to engage people. We try to give everybody a chance to do something. You know, you get a chance either during the review to do something. We've even been encouraging people during the review to share their vision or their dream or some gift, or can stand up and prophesy or give a tongue or interpretation and so forth. You know, we see that, you know, our worship leaders, a lot of them are women over here, you know, men, you know, and so forth. You know, they are all there. You know, people, you know, our women lead in the prayer segments. They can lead us into worship and so on and so forth. You know, everybody gets a chance. You know, we want everybody to be involved. Don't take a back seat and say because I'm a child or because I'm this or that. No, you know, we want everybody to get involved, you know, and so those are the manifestation gifts, and everybody can manifest these gifts in the church or in your life, wherever you are, when the Lord is using you to minister to souls and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. Now, there are many more things that I want to say about that, but I'm going to leave it there. Let me quickly touch on the ministry gifts. Now, the ministry gifts, where you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, you know, that's in Ephesians. But we see that in Romans chapter 12, Paul expanded it and even brought things in like, you know, helps, governments, administrations, and even somebody that's showing mercy. Now, we spoke last week about, you know, how do you identify the gift of and the calling of God in your life? You know, begin to see the traits. And so many people today gave testimony during the review of how they began to identify and recognize the giftings of God in their lives. You know, so we see that, you know, there are many more of these ministry gifts. You know, some lesser ones that people lesser by people's own connotation, not by God. You know, there is nothing high or low as far as God is concerned. It's one body. Amen. The hand is not any more important than the feet. Neither is the head any more important than, you know, your knees or your legs and so forth. They must walk together. You know, it's human beings that have tried to, you know, classify and couch these things and make them as if one is higher than the other. You know, God, it's all the body together. Paul spent a long time describing that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body ministry, and we've already covered that. Now, the scriptures, there are some scriptures I'm going to give to us now. I want to cover briefly the ministry gifts. The scriptures, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture. Amen? Now, remember, all scripture. So it groups it together as one unit. It didn't say all the scriptures are. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, taken together as one unit. And it is profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, it is profitable for correction, and it is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect, and then thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Praise the Lord. Now, there are some things. Now, when everybody is in agreement when it comes to these manifestation gifts, you know, but I've seen that people think that there is confusion and there is disagreement when it comes to some of the ministry gifts. And I don't see that at all, you know. But there may be some things hard to be understood. Now, hard to be understood doesn't mean we have to change the Bible. Amen? That's right. Now, in the days of the apostles, even Peter, one of the apostles, in fact, one of the lead apostles, said that there were some things in the writings of Paul that were hard to be understood. You find that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. It was talking about, you know, that Paul, because of the wisdom that is given to him, has written many things. And said, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle to the destruction, their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Now, just because it was hard, Peter didn't try to rewrite them or change them. Praise the Lord. Just said it was hard, but he didn't say you have to change it. Now, today, people read the Bible, they say this is hard. So, you know, that's why we have all these translations of the Bible today. They read the King James, they say, well, that's too hard, you know, so they change it, put all kinds of things in there. Come up with another one. Ah, that's too hard, they change it, put all kinds of things in there, you know. And then people take the Word of God, finally say, wow, now that's too hard, that's not contemporary, let's change it. You know, and we change it up and down and so forth. Well, yeah, some things may be contemporary, but they may not be scriptural. Praise the Lord. It's our responsibility to bring scripture. Hallelujah. You know, now sometimes God will allow some things, and we understand that. You know, because Jesus, one time in the book of Mark chapter 2 and some other places, you know, his disciples were going through the field on the day, on a Sabbath day, and they were plucking things and eating and so forth. And those bunch of Pharisees, I mean, they are always quick to condemn everything. So they came and they said, why are you allowing your disciples to do that? And so forth. You know, and Jesus, you know, he would, I mean, I love the way that Jesus sometimes answered those questions. Jesus went back, you know, to some of the writings of the Old Testament. You know, and he said, have you never read? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so I want to say that, look, by Jesus using the writings of the Old Testament and some of these things, shows you that even things that are in the Bible that are there historically, that they also have a point to bear. Amen. Because the Bible says all these things are for our examples, even though they are maybe history, like the Acts of the Apostles. Most of them is historical. They were just recording what happened. You know, there may be a few doctrine dropped here and there and so forth, but it was just a record, you know, of what happened and so forth. Even the Gospels, they were a record of what happened. They were just recording what happened. Now, we may learn from it. We may learn doctrine and so on from it and so forth. But there are some other teachings that are brought out point blank. The apostles that God sent, they wrote these things and brought them out, point blank, you know. Praise the Lord. And here's what Paul, by the Spirit of God, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he said, look, let everybody that thinks himself to be spiritual or be a prophet, amen. He's silent in here. He says in verse 36 of 1 Corinthians 14, what? Came the word of God from you, or came it out unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. I put a stamp right there on it. That's thus saith the living God. You know, this is apostolic authority putting his smack down in the pages of this Bible. Let every man acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, there are some places where Paul would give a disclaimer and say, well, I have no commandment of the Lord in this case concerning virgins. But as a man that has received mercy and wisdom of God, I give my judgment. Now, that's his own idea. But in this place, he said, let every man acknowledge that these are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, that's the next verse. If any man be ignorant, well, let him be ignorant then. Praise the Lord. So, you know, if you choose to be ignorant, well, fine. But the things that he has written, which even Peter acknowledged that they were hard, but they didn't change it, even though it was hard. The things that he wrote, they were hard. You know, so that's where today we have the so-called controversies, controversial. There's nothing controversial about the Word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if you want to make it controversial, well, you can find hundreds of scriptures to take your position. And everybody will have their own scriptures and their own thing, you know. But there is something that the Lord, he said, this is the man to whom I will look, he that trembles at my word. You know, hallelujah. In Isaiah, you will see that in 66. This is the man to whom I will look, that trembles at my word. Now, it's a dangerous place when we see something point blank in the scriptures and we say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, that's what Paul was thinking. One brother one time, he told me that. He said, He said, well, that was Saul writing. You know, he was so angry, and he just dismissed everything. And I said, well, my goodness, you know, every scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah. It is not, even Peter, he wrote about that in 1 Peter. He said, look, the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man or by private interpretation. He said, but holy men of God moved by the Holy Ghost. They wrote these things. So these things are the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, there's always room for us to have our own opinion. You know, I have my opinion about many things. And if the Bible is silent about it, then I'm free to have my opinion. You know, because the Bible doesn't say, so I can have my opinion. You know, so that's my opinion. But when the Bible says, you know, then if you're going to make an error, you better err on the side of caution. Because when the Bible says something, better stick with the Bible. Because Jesus said, this word will judge on the last day. Think not that I will judge any man, but this word I have spoken. You know, that's why he said in Matthew 7:21, he said, don't think that it's everybody that does a great miracle in my name, or everybody that does these things and so forth, say Lord and Lord. He said, look, so many people will come to me on that last day and say, you know, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Read it, Matthew 7:21 and 22. Have we not done great works in your name? Have we not gone all over the world and evangelized and done all these things in your name and so forth? And Jesus didn't say they didn't do it. Amen? He didn't say they didn't do it. But he said, but I will profess unto them. He just flat out denied them. I never knew you. Why? Because they possibly denied the word of God. You know, and they did whatever they wanted. But Paul, that's why Paul said, look, after I preached to others, I put my own body under, keep myself in check. Lest after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I better keep myself in the line of God. Now, the word of God is preached every which way. Amen. Paul said some people preach it even for strife. Some people preach it for contention. Some people preach it for whatever reason. Nevertheless, the gospel is preached. But that's not what we're talking about. But how do we, when we stand, we're going to have to give account for this word that God has given us. Praise the Lord. No, so having said all of that, and remember what I said before, that everybody should and must be exercising the ministry, manifestation gifts. Now, the ministry gifts are different. And I have to stand by this word. The ministry gifts are different because of what we see in the Bible. Now, there are some ministry gifts that everybody can have. There's helps, there's government, there's mercy, and all of these things and so forth. But we have to go by what we see in the Bible for some of these other things. Now, when Jesus was calling the apostles, I didn't see that he called any of them that were women, but he called those 12 men. Now, that doesn't mean that women cannot do. In fact, some of the greatest things in this Bible, like the first person to witness the resurrection of Christ, was a woman. Amen? That's right. The first person to witness his resurrection was a woman. And that's why you have to listen to that message that I referred you to, because I detailed it all there, and I don't have time to repeat it here. There are some of the greatest, in fact, the glorious church is typified by the bride, which is a woman. Praise the Lord. God doesn't even use a man to typify it. You know, but there is an order that God has set. And I'm not the one that wrote it. But Paul said, you know, better acknowledge that these things are the commandment of the law. Now, I'm not the one that wrote it. Now, does that mean that we are unequal? No. Now, let me ask you a question concerning civil rights. We are all equal in civil rights. Everybody, you have as much equality as anybody else. But when a policeman shows up, you better obey their order. Amen? Amen? Does that mean you have less civil rights than him? No, you have the same equal right. But he has certain authority as an enforcer, as a law enforcement official, that he can assert because of the badge that he's wearing. Praise the Lord. You know, now that's different. And it doesn't mean that you don't have the same equal rights and this, all of this and so forth. So we do have that. Now, we see also that in the Bible, when they were appointing, elders and deacons and bishops and so forth, throughout the New Testament, Acts chapter 6, They started, you know, when the when some of the women were grumbling and saying, oh, well, we need more of this, we need more of that, and so forth. The apostles said, well, we cannot leave tables. I mean, we cannot leave the word of God to go and serve tables. So they said, well, here's what we are going to do. You know, he said, you know, we want you to, you know, he said, verse 3, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and so forth. When they appointed them, they said those things. When Paul was writing, and he says, choose out men to do these leadership things. You know, when Paul was writing, you know, he wrote to Timothy about these things. He said, man, you know, somebody deserves the office of a bishop or a deacon, they deserve a good thing. And he gave the qualifications of these things that they should be. And he said, well, let him be, let such a person that wants the office of a bishop and an elder, let them be first, not only to Timothy, but also to Titus. You know, let them be the husband of one wife. He didn't say let them be the wife of one husband. Let them be the husband of one wife. Let them be like this, let them be like this. And so we see that they put these things down like that. You know, well, you say, well, now where does that put women? I mean, should women just be in the kitchen? I've never said anything like that. You look around in this church, women don't just sit in the kitchen. I mean, women are up here, they are worship leaders. Women lead us in prayer, lead us in worship. We have appointed women to men to lead many of our departments and so forth. By no means do we think that women are second class or less. But we have to follow the scriptures. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Because we are going to be accounted, you know, we are going to be accountable to God for the scriptures. So we just have to follow the scriptures. Now, what we believe is that we have examples in this Bible and commandments to follow in this Bible. And where somebody, something is silent or we are not sure, we still have to go back to the Bible and let it interpret itself. Now, having said all of that, we go back to this subject. And let me give you some of these verses that I've quoted. Because somebody say, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, it is definitely in the Bible. So let me give it to you here. In the book of Titus chapter 1. Let me just read it. For this cause, in verse 3 or verse 5, I have left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and to ordain elders in every city, as I appointed you. If any, so he's talking about elders here, if any be blameless, they be the husband of one wife, and so on and so forth. He did all of these things, and he, you know, talked about that. So we see that when they are appointing elders, even, they are talking about, you know, their qualifications, and I said they need to be the husband of one wife. Looks like if they are talking about the elders need to be men. Now, women can teach. In fact, the Bible says, let the older women teach the younger women to be sober, to be chaste, to love their husband, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, so we know that. And we see that even in our church here, women do teach. You know, they teach our Sunday school and so forth. And, they, you know, we have the women's meetings. They teach one another and so forth. You know. When we do come to the church where there are ministers of the gospel that are men, here is the position that we take, which is what the Bible says. And, you know, some people differ about this. They say, well, you know, it's not like that. But I'm going to just read to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now, this is where some people don't like it at all. Well, I didn't write these scriptures. But if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right are the commandments of the Lord. Now, usurp is the key word here. Now, if they are appointed, they have not usurped anything. Praise the Lord. And all the women that we have appointed to leadership roles here in the church, they have not usurped anything because we appointed them to it. Now, usurp is the key word, but they have not usurped anything. Now, you know, so he spoke about that and he said, look, you know, let the women keep this. Now, does it mean that women, you know, in fact, there is a chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 34. There is a verse there that, you know, Paul was writing, which is after that, he wrote the things that I just read to you before, when he said, let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, that's the one that has caused a lot of confusion. And people say, well, that means they should be quiet. No, that's not what it means. You have to read the whole context. Paul never said women should not speak in the church. He was talking about something specific. Women, he said, look, a woman praying or prophesying, having her head uncovered, you know, dishonoring her head. And so Paul acknowledges that women should be praying and prophesying. You know, we saw that Philip had four daughters that prophesied. We've already proved from these scriptures that the Spirit of God will fall upon everybody. Men and women, they can prophesy, they can do these things, they can manifest all the gifts of the Spirit, just like men. You know, but we're talking about the ministry gifts that places leadership where there is men and women. Paul said, in this place, I suffer not a woman to usurp authority, but to be in subjection. Now, subjection is very hard, folks. But I tell you, there's a great reward. Amen. Subjection is very hard, but there is a great reward. And before I give you the reward of the subjection, let me just read this to you, you know, so that, just to give you the scriptures that we have been talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You can read the whole chapter. It talks about bishops and deacons. And again, the same qualifications. Let them be a husband of one wife and so on and so forth. And let me just add this right here, this scripture. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul tells Timothy, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, and that you do nothing by partiality. So he's telling Timothy here, you cannot pick and choose which scriptures you are going to observe. You cannot pick and choose which commandments that I'm charging you that you are going to observe. You have to observe them all. You can't do things by partiality. This commandment goes not only to Timothy, but it goes to every one of us. So we've got to take the whole scriptures and all of the commandments together. We cannot pick and choose what we are going to do and pick and choose the ones that we don't like to do. Amen. Now, but let me go back to why subjection is so hard and what the reward is. It's very hard. You know, it's like, you know, God uses Christ and the church as a type between Christ and the church versus husband and wife, that type. One can read from the other and one can learn from the other. And as a matter of fact, a husband and wife should look at the model of Christ and the church as a perfect relationship. Now, also, God uses that, because in many places, Paul will say, look, I'm talking about these mysteries, but I'm talking about Christ. And then you're talking about husband and wife, and you're talking about Christ and the church. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, so he uses, you know, intermingle there to bring it out. But it is hard, you know. Well, especially when you say a woman should submit. You say, why should I submit? Well, I didn't say it, you know, but there's a reward if you do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me show you the greatest example in this whole Bible, in heaven and on earth and anywhere else. His name was Jesus Christ. The greatest example. Now, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Hallelujah. Humbled himself even to the death on the cross, which is like everyone has cursed, he's the only one that will hang on that tree. He took that. Wherefore God has highly exalted. Hallelujah, somebody. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now he humbled himself. He was equal with God, but he didn't, you know, say, you know, it wasn't a position, it wasn't an equality thing. You know, he humbled himself, you know. But one of the greatest things that I saw in this Bible about the Christ that I was just blew my mind, I'm going to read it to you in a minute, is in the book of Matthew chapter 3. In the book of Matthew chapter 3, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, and I'm going to read something to you which you may have read before, you know, like I have read it and didn't think too much about it until when I started to do some more research on these things. In this story, We see John the Baptist. Isaiah 40 prophesied about John the Baptist, that he is the forerunner of Christ. We know that, you know. Now, we see here in this story, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's one comment after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. We've talked about that, Holy Ghost and fire and so forth. So it was pointing to Christ, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlace and all that. Now, in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Why in the world would Jesus want to be baptized of John? We know that baptism is for repentance, you know, of sin. Jesus was sinless, we know that. So why did he need to be baptized? Now, and John forbade him and said, "Ah, I'll never do that. I need to be baptized of you. I cannot baptize you." John told Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus answering him and said, "Suffer it to be so for now. For thus it becometh us that we should fulfill all righteousness." Now, I don't have time, but next time maybe I'll show you the righteousness that he was fulfilling. Because one day I asked God about, what's it all about? And he showed me that Christ was about to enter into the Melchizedek ministry. Hallelujah. And in that Melchizedek ministry, there are certain things that you had to be. First, you had to be 30 years of age. Christ began to be about 30 years of age, being as it was supposed, you know, the son of this and that and so forth. And he began to show it, and then he went for his baptism. He was about to enter into that. The other thing you're going to find in the book of Exodus and so forth, I'll show it to you later. I don't have time right now. You know, 29 and many places where the priests had to be washed by water. And Jesus, he came to fulfill the righteousness. He was about to enter into that ministry. And he was trying to do the thing. And not only that, he was giving witness to his own death and resurrection, because of burial and so forth. But also, he was, you know, witnessing to the ministry of his forerunner. Hallelujah. And there are many righteousnesses that he was fulfilling, especially the qualifications for the Melchizedek ministry, you know, which had to do with the washing of water. I don't have time to go into that. But what I wanted to point out with you is this. Now, so John said, okay, when Jesus said, no, I got to do it. So John baptized, can you imagine John baptizing Jesus? Can you imagine Jesus submitting himself to baptism by John? You know, but when he did it, listen to what happened. Hallelujah. This is one of the greatest scriptures in that whole Bible. And Jesus, when he was baptized, straight away, the heavens opened up. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost descended. Now, every other person got like cloven tongues of fire. Now, this was a dove-like presence. The Holy Ghost bodily descended upon him. The Bible says, Christ in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Holy Ghost descended upon him. And there was a voice that said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hallelujah. Now that was a tremendous reward for humbling himself. And God gave him an acclaim, you know, that was beyond human acclaim. Jesus said in himself, look, I have one that testified of me. Amen. I don't need that man. His voice from heaven already testified about him. This is my beloved son. And Peter will write about it later and say, when we were in the place, we even again, when they were in Matthew chapter 17, when they were in Mount Transfiguration, they saw again, the voice came again and testified, because he humbled himself, put himself in line with the scriptures. Amen. Now, there may be, let me tell you something here. Let me put it to you in line with this scripture. The fullness of what God has in store for you, you may never enter into it fully until you fulfill all righteousness. I'm going to say that again, because God asked me to say it this morning. The fullness of what God has... Remember, when we were talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, I quoted Acts 5:31, that the Holy Ghost is given to only those that obey him. Now, the fullness of what God has for you. Kind of like when we're talking about the kinks that disturbing the flowing of the water. There are some things you cannot enter into that fullness of the revelation of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You can't enter into the fullness until you fulfill all righteousness. And some of that righteousness is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he will exalt you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, some of the scriptures that Paul wrote, they are hard. Hard to be understood. 1 Corinthians 14 and 34 is one of them. Let your women keep silence in the churches and so forth. Well, you know. But we know what he was talking about and so forth. And we don't tell our women to keep silent in the churches here. They do all kinds of things, you know, which God allows. You know, but we have to follow the biblical pattern of what God has shown here. And that's what we are following. Now, the Bible says that every word of God is pure. And the scripture is profitable for all these things that we have read. Now, today, by the grace of God, I didn't have enough time to go into all the scriptures that I wrote down here, but it's an introduction, you know, and I will cover this in greater detail in the future, by the grace of God. If you have any questions and so forth, you know, you can ask me. But don't say what I didn't say. Praise the Lord. So you can listen to the message again. We'll put it on the website. You can also listen to that message that I mentioned in 2009, September 4. You'll see what we said here. Don't say what I didn't say. Don't leave this place and say, he said this and he didn't say that when I didn't say. What I said is what I said. And I'm saying here what the scripture said. Praise the Lord. You know, that all our women are joint heirs with Christ. And all our women can exercise all of the gifts of the Spirit. We already said that unequivocally. And we make no apologies for that. Praise the Lord. And we've already said that, you know, some of the greatest things that happen in this Bible, like seeing, you know, the Lord's resurrection first, like even bringing the Christ into the world and, you know, typifying the glorious church. It's all by women, you know, and so forth. I mean, God used that, you know, but also he has an order that he puts in place. And you can't argue with God, you know, because Adam was first made. And then Eve. And that God said it in order. And that's his business. Now, if you have any issues about that, you can take it up with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can take it up with God and say, why do you do it that way? Well, I don't know. But you know, when God made them, he made them male and female. You know, he already knew exactly what he was doing. But I tell you something about the man, you know. I said one day, you know, if Adam makes it up there, and I think he will because he's the son of God, you know, I'm going to challenge him when I see him. And say, you should put your foot down. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what most men don't do. You know, they don't put their foot down. The Lord already said, don't do that. But of course, Adam knew what he was doing. I can't get into that. That's a deep subject. I can't get into that, you know, today. You know, he knew what he was doing. Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. You know, he was the woman that was deceived. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, but that's a different subject. I can't get into that. But anyway, should have put his foot down. You know, so man, you know, it's an indictment. It is an indictment, you know. In the book of Isaiah, it says, look, you know, because of sin and iniquity in the land, you know, children will lead them. Women will be their rulers. God doesn't have anything against women and so forth, but these are the scriptures, you know, and all that and so forth. And let me also draw this prophetically in here. One of these days, in the United States, I'm not talking about this election and so forth, you know, but, and we know it's already happening prophetically, you know, the Catholic Church and all of these other things will rule the world eventually, because we know it prophetically. But, you know, one of these days, you might see, you know, a really figure like that and so forth, you know, that will lead this nation. And it'll be, you know, I'm not talking about this election and so forth, and this is not anything about politics. But I'm saying that the Bible says, look, when you see these things happening, there's a reason for it. And it's an indictment against the men, you know, especially in the house. I'm talking about politics. Women can do anything they want in politics. Women can do anything they want in business. But in the house of God, it is an indictment. And some of the things that people point to in the Old Testament, like Deborah and all of these things, was an indictment against the men. Because the men were not doing what they should be doing. Praise the Lord. You know, and the men should do what they should do, you know. When God begins to move in that direction, it's an indictment against the man, you know. So, you know what you are doing, and you follow the Lord. And every man in your household, I'm challenging all the men that are here, repair the altar of the Lord that is broken down. Amen. Amen. That's for the men that's in here. Now, you repair that altar. That's your job. You repair that altar of the house that is broken down, of the Lord that's broken down in your altar. You call your house to order. In your house. Hallelujah. You be the man. Hallelujah. In your house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, finally, remember what I said. That Jesus, he knows what he's doing. Amen. Have you never read that which, there was a time, you know, that David did something that nobody else was allowed to do. And then Jesus was even referring to it. You know, so some people say, well, what about this person? What about that person? Well, I don't know. Have you never read that which David did in the days of Abiathar the priest? How he entered into the house of God and took of the showbread, which he was not allowed to eat. And not only did he eat, but also gave to others and so forth like that. So God knows what he's doing, but we must stay with the scriptures. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet here this morning. Now, the Spirit of God, when he moves upon your life, he will bring, the Bible says in John chapter 16 and 13, he will teach you, he will bring you into all truth. He will bring you into all truth. But, you know, whenever you have a revelation, you need to cross-check it with the Word of God. Amen? When you have a revelation, cross-check it with the Word of God. Now, if you have a personal revelation, and it tells you to do something contrary to the Word of God, now that's your business. You know, but for the church, we have to stay with the Word of God. Because the Bible is the final arbiter. You know, we have to stay with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to lift your hands up and pray. God is not the author of confusion. But the Bible said, look, Paul said, look, if you're confused about it or whatever, you know, and if any man seems to be contentious or whatever, we have no such custom. Neither the churches of God. You know, this is not about contention at all. We're just preaching the Word of God. You pray and ask the Lord, you know, to do it, you know, and so forth like that. You know, and men themselves must put themselves under the headship of Christ. Amen. That's the order in which God puts it. And you have to listen to the message. I don't know what date it is. The covering anointing that we preached a few years back. You know, every place that you are in your life, you must be under the anointing. And to be under the anointing, you must have a covering over you. Praise the Lord. Now, raise your hands and pray. And ask the Lord. Today, to give you understanding. Paul, he prayed, he said, I pray that the Lord will give understanding to you, that you may understand the things that are freely given you of God. Now, Lord, I pray today that you will give understanding to us concerning the Word of God, that we may understand the things that are freely given unto us by God. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that everyone that is here today will go back and search the Scriptures to see whether those things be so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, folks. Hallelujah. Go back and search the Scriptures. Don't take my word for it. You know, although I've, you know, preached it from the Scriptures. Go back and search the Scriptures, and the Lord will reveal it to you. And if anybody be otherwise minded, Paul said, well, God will reveal this to you as well. You know, whatever it is, you know, God will reveal it to you. But, you know, we've given you the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, let's lift our hands up. Now, Lord Jesus, move upon the men and the women that are here. Let the Spirit of God begin to move in our lives and in the church. And at times, in our prayer lines and different things, the Holy Spirit begin to move. Let the young men and the young women begin to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let prophecy begin to break forth. The Bible says your sons and your daughters. Makes no difference between them. Let the Holy Spirit begin to be poured forth and so forth. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you help every one of us to learn from the ultimate example of the Christ. How he humbled himself and submitted himself even to all righteousness. And we see that in due time, you exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Now, a vital part of this message will be continued later on, so don't miss it when we go back into the series and so forth.